In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At the beginning of Paul's letter to the Hebrews, he begins by addressing the Hebrew people and reminding them that God in former times spoke to them by sending prophets, telling them the good news. He says, now God has spoken to us by His Son. And throughout the first two chapters of this letter, St. Paul has a consideration on what it means when God speaks, what it means when we as human beings speak, and how our speech is different compared to the speech of angels, for example. God spoke to us first by prophets through human beings that He inspired to give His word. Then He spoke by His Son. His Son is the Word of the Father. And the Son of the Father becomes incarnate. And Jesus the Christ is the Word of God made flesh. So that all of our humanity speaks to us in Jesus the Christ as the message, the Word from God. There isn't any part of our humanity that isn't filled with the presence of the divine Word of God in the incarnate Son of God. That's how God can speak. Only God can speak in that kind of way. An artist might create something great and wonderful and express his or her real nature. But when God speaks in this kind of way and expresses Himself by His incarnate Son, we are given something that is miraculous, something incredible, something that fills all of our lives with meaning. And because He, the Son of God, is the one for whom, St. Paul says, all creation was made, and by whom all creation keeps being the world that God created. This is an incredible event, that Word of God, the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe, has become incarnate and is this human being, Jesus the Christ. That's what it means when God speaks. St. Paul says that when an angel speaks, the word of an angel is steadfast. It doesn't change. And we know that we've been taught that angelic beings, when they choose one way or another, it's permanent. Those who stand with God stand with Him forever. Those who turned against Him, the fallen angels, they don't reconsider. They don't go back. They don't forget. But then St. Paul reminds us of how inconstant and changeable our own word is. Not like the word of the angels that is steadfast. We say when we become Christians that we acknowledge Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, as the one through whose life we will live from now on, and we are baptized, we die, and put an end to the life that we could have lived without God, without the incarnate Son of God as our own life. And we take on His life. We put on His life in baptism. The old life is gone. The old Adam is gone. And now the new Adam, Jesus the Christ, He is the one who is our life. And we turn against the demonic powers. Those who become Orthodox turn toward the West and they spit in the face of the devil. And they turn toward God and they affirm again their faith, their belief in Jesus the Christ. His life will be ours. But is it like the word of angels? We don't continue from that point and live that divine life that we have been given to live. Were we angels, we would do it. But instead, we go into the world and we live the same old life that we had before. We return to living a life without the new life that we are given. And we play games. We say that, well, maybe if I understood better, maybe if I studied more, maybe if I had more intellectual understanding of the fullness of the Orthodox faith, then I would live differently. Forgetting the fact that it is only by Christ that we can live this new life that we have already been given, that we have already begun, and we have forgotten the fact that our salvation is in living that life. Now study and learning and trying to understand the teachings of the fathers and the spiritual teachings and understanding of the church is a good thing. But those who come to the Wednesday sessions, you know that I often say that you can come to understand something, and if it is different, if it is beyond how we are actually living as human beings, it can come as a sudden intellectual flash of understanding and revelation. But if it has nothing to do with the way we are actually living our life, because after all, these things we are reading, they are written by saints who know these things because they are living that life, and they tell them to us. And so we can understand them with our minds, but if we ourselves are not living that same life those saints were living, that made it possible for them to say these words of wisdom, then what will happen to this understanding, these words of wisdom? We will forget them almost immediately. Maybe if we had a test, you know, next week, if we were college students and we crammed and studied all of these teachings and we could answer the question, then maybe we wouldn't forget. But after the test was gone and we graduated and we went out into the world, if it wasn't a part of us, if it wasn't a part of our lives, certainly we would forget. These things, this way of life, they have to become our way of life. Simply knowing about them, simply understanding about them from the outside, it makes no difference. It makes no difference at all. When St. Paul talks about Jesus, he says, reminding us again, he who created the world, he for whom the world was created, made himself a little lower than the angels in order that he might taste death. He assumed our humanity in order to taste death, our enemy, and in order to destroy that enemy. That's why he became one of us. To change the world that had fallen. To change the world as only a human being could do. But we had lost that connection to God by turning away from him. And so God himself came into the world, took on our humanity, and died on the cross. And by his dying in our humanity, being at the same time fully God, he destroyed death and arose in our humanity and offers us a life sharing his divine humanity. We are baptized into that life, and St. Paul says, who can escape the consequences of not receiving this great salvation? If we say with our mouths that we believe in Christ, but we go and we live a life that is unlike the life that we are baptized into, unlike the life that God has given us to live, then who can escape that? He says. He reminds us that the one who destroyed the power of death now sits at the right hand of the Father in our humanity. And the reason that he does that, sitting there in the glory of God, having reassumed the glory that he had from before the world was made, the reason that he did that is so that he could raise up, bring up many sons. Us, sons and daughters of the Most High. That is what we are as Christians. But we forget that is our life, and not the way we live in the world. Not calling Christ to mind, not calling out when we fall into one of those missings of the mark that we still don't have control over. St. Paul brings the Old Testament writings, Genesis in particular, up a great deal. He reminds us that when God created human beings, He created us in order to have dominion over all things. But then St. Paul says, but we see that mankind still does not have dominion over many things. There are many things that we don't have dominion over. Christ comes into the world in order to establish dominion over those things on our behalf. First of all, death, to establish a dominion of life in the world. Sin and suffering and death rule our lives. And the way we respond to the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world is that we commit those missings of the mark, whether it's gluttony or lust or anger or any of the twisted ways that we live in the life of the old Adam. Each one of them is an example of a way in which we are not fulfilling the way that God created us to live, to share His dominion in the world that He created. We don't have dominion over the things of the earth if we are controlled by gluttony or lust or anger or any of those things that is contrary to the divine and pure life of Christ Himself. Now, Christ has dominion over those things, and our salvation is that we can share His dominion over all of those things. On our own, in ourselves, we can't have that kind of spiritual life. But united to Him, we can. God has spoken to us by His Son, and we have heard the meaning of the Son. We see the meaning of the Son of God for us. We see that He is our life, and we affirm Him as the Christ. But how great is the loss if we, knowing all of these things, fail to live the life that we are given to live. Will it make any difference that we understand that we are orthodox if we don't actually live that life that we are given? We are to live the life that we are given. And when we fall away from that life, we confess and we return to that life, not being so deluded as to think that we're in the midst of some kind of self-development program. Well, I'm trying. I'm not doing so good. I confess I did this, that, and the other. Father, I will try to do better next time. I'd like to ask God to forgive me for not having been able to be successful at being Jesus Christ myself personally on my own. And that's not the nature of the Christian faith. We set that life of self-dependence aside. We die to the world, and we share the divine life of the incarnate Son of God Himself. It is the only path of life. It is the only path of salvation. And so, St. Paul says, be serious about your spiritual life. Give heed to remembering the high calling that we have to become the sons and daughters of God through Christ, who is the incarnate Son of God Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.